Here we go.
Who the hell are you, man?
Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We are the knights!
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Knights of Nerd 2 podcast. We're a podcast for all things nerd. My name is Chris. I'm here with
Sam
and John. No, sorry, John
and Sean.
Damn it! All right. Time's the charm.
So, a reminder to everybody: all our episodes are on iTunes and Podbean and Stitcher. Please leave us a review on Facebook. We'll keep up with John's thing. If you leave us a 5-star review, or all 4 of us will watch whatever movie you decide.
Oh, man.
And give our takes on it.
Did anyone check it?
No, I haven't checked it.
I haven't checked it this week.
Yeah. So. Well, but we only do them once a month, so.
We'll watch the movies and then review it as soon as we can. How's that? How's about that?
There you go.
Anyway, how's everybody?
Also, if you want it on like Spotify too, like let us know if that would help. I mean, like, literally, if one person asks, we'll do it.
Oh, put the episodes up on Spotify?
Yeah. I don't even know. I think there's a way to do it, I'm guessing.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway. Everybody good Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of food. Bad nice. Football.
I mean, turkey was a little dry.
I was just going to say that. A little dry.
See, we had three turkeys.
Yeah, but ours was smoked.
We had two smoked.
Was it my dad smoked?
It was a different kind. So we had a smoked turkey wrapped
in
bacon.
What kind of wood do they use?
Yeah. I don't know. Smoked turkey wrapped in bacon, and then we had a turducken, and then there was a regular
turducken
smoked turkey.
Turducken, yeah.
Ooh, I've never actually done the turducken.
Yeah. My dad did 1 year for Christmas. Phenomenal.
I think he did it twice.
It's expensive. It's good. It's hard to do it right, though, because the duck really is greasy, and you have to deal with a lot
of
that.
Well, I mean, ducks normally are greasy, so I mean.
That's why they're good.
Greasy. Now that we're on con smoke, What kind of wood did you use, Sam?
This year, I think my dad was using apple wood.
Apple wood, okay.
Because I set it up, and I believe he told me to take out the apple wood.
Nice little sweet notes.
Yeah.
Apple wood, whether or not Sam put that in there.
Yeah, I know.
I did take out apple wood.
Oh, okay. The key to why it was dry, though, we think, is because it was a pre-injected bird, so they pre-injected flavoring into it.
At least that's my dad's excuse.
Which I'm fine with that excuse. It makes sense to me, sort of.
Are they? They're not all pre-injected.
No,
though.
The one that he got though was
like
apparently
Butterball. I think is pre-injected.
Yeah,
dude. Yeah. So I went to Stop and Shop like the day after, or maybe it was that Saturday, and they had like a goose there.
Ooh,
like I mean, not a live one, but
did you get it just to? Get it?
You know, I wasn't going to come back down and smoke it here, so it was like, that'd just be a waste. Yeah. But like,
how much?
What if?
How much?
Goose? Like, when did you ever do that?
Yeah. How
Christmas?
How often? How much was it?
I don't know. I didn't check. I can't imagine it's like cheap. I would bet it's like at least like 40, 50 bucks.
Yeah.
I did notice.
Gooses, you know.
Oh yeah. No, they're massive. Pretty
big, I went to Stop and Shop Sunday, the day after, or Saturday, the day after. I picked up a few things. There was a good like 75 turkeys left.
Oh yeah,
it's hard to.
Yeah, you buy a turkey, then stick it in the freezer. Wait till Christmas. You got a turkey.
No,
Christmas.
Do ham. We do ham for Christmas.
A lot of people do ham for Christmas. Yeah. We obviously do not because
it's all about the desserts.
Our celebration includes the Jewish celebrations. Yes. So it's kind of hard to eat ham with people who are celebrating Hanukkah.
So you just go with
the
shrimp.
If the calendar matches up.
You invite them over for Christmas, which
either
is
way, either way, it's a tradition. They come over for Christmas, so no matter what.
Well, anyway, you can come to my house if you want some ham.
No, I'm good. I like the turkey, and I believe
duck.
We are having a duck this year, which is A-okay in my book.
Because Daniel always requests the duck.
Yes, Daniel loves the duck.
I'm fine with having ham exactly once a year.
I usually have it for Easter. Yeah.
Easter?
Yeah.
I mean, I have ham throughout the year,
again,
too.
Ham steaks and stuff. Christmas is a lot of it's about desserts, too. Like, are like the good.
Yeah, I don't think I eat much healthy things on Christmas. It's like, oh, a cookie. Ooh, candy. Ooh, more candy. And then like by like 3 o'clock in the afternoon,
Sean,
I'm like,
Sean, it's our Christmas, so it's, Ooh, spinach dip. Ooh, pistachios.
Oh, I don't eat either of those.
You don't eat them?
I don't eat spinach dip. I don't eat pistachios. I don't eat...
Do you starve?
Can I just say, it's a little low-key weird that, you know, I'm an only child, but it's weird that, like, you're 29 years old, Sam, yeah, and your brother's older than you, and you didn't know he didn't like spinach dip.
Yeah. I never eat it. The deviled eggs, never eat those.
Really?
Oh, yeah, all right, there's so good. Like, and apparently my dad makes the best deviled eggs, apparently, because Jared, he's had them like in other places, and he's been like, it's good, but it's not Bob's good.
Because what is, does he use Miracle Whip instead of mayonnaise?
No. Okay. I doubt it.
Well, he throws in like a lot of spices.
Yeah, paprika.
Are you guys okay? Like last that. Question before we move on: are you guys Miracle Whip people or mayonnaise people?
Mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise. If I
mayonnaise.
John,
I'm not a big mayo guy.
Neither am I. But like,
no, I mean like just either.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But if you had to use one,
I mean, I guess mayo.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because okay, like,
good
mayonnaise, but like on like a BLT or a turkey club, I will eat. You know mayonnaise, what's good? But it light.
Know who makes good mayo? Because it's like I got a nice vinegary like twang to it. Is Heinz?
Heinz mayo.
Heinz mayo. If you like that vinegary, taste.
No. I'm more like, of a, it's not is it strong. Hellman's? I think it's Hellman's. I think it's the
it's best. Not Hellman's strong. The... Like, it's got that vinegary taste with the nice creamy mayo, but...
Right. I will have to say, a Chipotle mayo on a BLT.
Yes!
Phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. Or that's what I do. I go with, like, the Chipotle mayo for, like, a club or something.
Because it kind of hides the mayo taste, but it's, like, it still adds some, like... moisture to the
sauce. Hate the vinegar, but like Chipotle.
Shall we get away from the condiment review podcast and move on to the actual nerd podcast?
Can we ever give a rundown?
I'm ready to do that.
By the way,
though,
if you like barbecue talk and you prefer this to be a barbecue podcast, let me know because Sam and I are just ready.
Nights of barbecue.
Yeah, we could do a condiment podcast, just review condiments from around the world. Actually, I bet you there is a market for it.
Yeah, probably.
Which is strange.
The Condacast.
A little.
Oh my god, we don't need to shoot. Cons on condiment.
Like a little inside baseball here. This has literally been like the hour leading up to it is us avoiding what we came here to talk about.
All right, let's run over this itinerary before we get really off the rails and start talking like Marmite and shit. Okay, so we're going to do a con on crown. Some cultural appropriation. Sean said it, not me.
Yes.
Mandalorian, a little bit of Mandalorian, a little bit of Watchmen, and then some just general overall news, some trailers that came out, Mulan, 007, Black Widow, and Sean saw Frozen 2, so you can give a little bit on that. Yeah. Why don't we start with Con on Crown? Let's just go down the list.
Go ahead, guys.
Con on Crown.
Oh, wow. All right.
Okay.
You said 5 minutes on Crown.
I don't know if I was prepared for this.
All right, should we just skip
it? Yeah, let's skip it. We'll come back.
Why don't we start off with this? Upcoming things.
I don't want to scare people.
Upcoming things that I wrote down that I'm really, really excited for. I struggled to watch Mandalorian and Watchmen because I was more concerned about the CW shows. Crisis on Infinite Earths
starts Sunday night. Yep.
I'm all teed up. I'm ready to go, man.
I haven't watched anything, but I'm ready to go.
Yep, it's fantastic. Unfortunately, I think there's a lot of Arrow pieces in there from
the fact season. That like Kevin Conway is gonna be Batman is like, fuck it. Maybe I should just watch
Yes, you need to.
I feel like you should watch all of them because there are some real good ones, like the crossovers and stuff. There are some real good ones.
Yeah, the other crossovers are
pretty good. But how many of them have Kevin Conway?
Just this
one. By the way, it's Kevin Conroy. Yeah, Kevin Conway is the guy who's the Irish guy in Gettysburg.
So we'll give you a pass on that.
Right. Conroy, sorry. All
right. Yeah. But Crisis starts on Sunday night.
Yes, it does.
It's Sunday night, two episodes, and I think Tuesday's Flash. And then I think there's like that gap, and then Arrow starts it in January. So
it takes a break?
I think it takes a break before the Arrow finale.
Okay.
And then Legends of Tomorrow picks up right after that.
That's fine. I have the CW app, so I can actually wait.
Yeah, next day. Be careful, though, because they will start deleting episodes 1 and 2, and you can't watch those.
That's fine. I will watch the just Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Anyway, final season of Vikings started the 4th.
Okay.
Two nights ago. I'm sorry. We were just talking about good music. Vikings still has the best music, in my opinion, of a TV show of all time.
Don't they do this thing with Vikings where, like, there's two different versions, like they, like, hide nudity or whatever in the history version, but, like, in the actual version? Because isn't it, like, a European show, too?
Not that I know of. All right, just, it's just on History Channel.
Maybe I need to revisit.
It's not like that anymore. It's almost like a Game of Thrones where it's they needed it in the beginning to get you hooked on it, and then they finally stopped doing it because everybody's now hooked on it. Guest of the show Ryan really loves it. Really is back into it.
And I've been recommended that show so many times.
It really is. I'm not gonna force you to watch it, but I think it's one of those top 50 you have to watch.
We should,
just for quality alone.
We should do something nice for Christmas and watch Vikings and just get caught up and then just have a Vikings combo with Chris.
Yeah, you might as well.
That'd be a nice Merry Christmas.
50-hour
commitment. I think you guys would actually appreciate how well produced and run the show is.
I've heard nothing bad about this show. Like, everything has been good, and I've had people that, like, barely know me be like, "You seem like you'd be into Vikings."
It's the facial hair.
Yeah, probably.
It probably is. Yeah.
People see the facial hair and they're like, "Viking.
Does he own chainmail? I don't know."
Not yet.
So
the right answer for any real man.
Hey, Sean, you want to go raid Linda's farm later?
Yes.
We're just talking about
That's a deep ref.
Shall we? All right. Speaking of another thing coming up, and this is, I guess, my question to you guys.
Ooh, question time.
So last year, or the year before, so 2017, I believe it was, you remember how Jumanji came out? And it was shockingly bigger than people expected.
Yes.
Well, so.
Yeah.
Well, no. I think everybody in general threw them for a loop because they didn't expect it to be that big.
It was the second last week of the year it came out, and it basically was going up against
nothing,
and The Last Jedi.
Not even The Last Jedi.
Yeah, I think it was after The Last Jedi. It was like 3 weeks after The Last Jedi. So
my question now is: this comes out 6 days before Rise of Skywalker,
right?
Do you think this is going to hurt or help?
Hurt or help what?
Jumanji.
I think it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
No matter how pissed off these Star Wars fans are, they're still going to see this movie.
I mean, they fucking multi-solo, but whatever.
I mean, I don't know. And it's the time of year, too, where, like, you could definitely go to two movies in, like, the week that you're off, you know? Yeah, I mean, that's right, because really, what is it going to be? It's going to be parents are only going to take kids to one or the other.
Right.
It's not like there's a Star Wars fan that's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I really like Danny DeVito.
I think the other thing that hurt Solo was the fact that it came out in May rather than Christmas time.
Yeah, and it was only six months from the other movie, and people were kind of still, like, heated.
Rubbed the wrong way about that one.
I think with The Mandalorian being such a big hit right now,
People are in the Star Wars mood,
and this is definitely wetting the palate.
It's for sure, like, the best marketing they could have for this movie.
Yes.
Especially the Baby Yoda thing. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll definitely get there.
Do you think it's going to hit? I think Jumanji was $800 million. Do you think it's going to hit that again?
No.
No?
I don't think. Because, like I said, it went on such a huge run, but it really wasn't up against anything.
That's international, I'm guessing.
Yeah. I believe it was, yes.
All right. I mean, internationally, I don't know. I couldn't tell you what's going to be a hit.
I mean, I do have higher hopes for this one because, like, now that I still have yet to actually see Welcome to the Jungle. But, like, I'm looking at this one and I'm like, but Danny DeVito's in it, so I kind of want to see it. Because it's Danny DeVito. And who else?
Danny Glover.
That's it.
The two Dans.
Yeah. So. Danny DeVito and The Rock.
Joe Pesci.
Dan Dwayne.
Different movie.
Yeah, different gathering of 7-year-olds. So.
Should we move on to.
Trailer talk?
Trailers or the Sean's little.
Whatever you guys want to do.
Let's do trailers. Well, we got a couple this week.
We've teased Sean's thing, so we'll move on.
All right.
Yeah. All right. First one up. No Time to Die, the most recent installment of the James Bond series. You know, how have you guys been? The Daniel Craig Bonds. If you guys were to just sum it up real quickly, what your thoughts are.
All right. So,
I'm the aficionado.
I'm the Bond aficionado here. So, Daniel Craig's Bond films go like this. awesome, bad, awesome, bad, and now we're set up for awesome.
Right.
So it's like, all right.
Yeah, it has been very hit or miss, and I'd say for as much as I really like Daniel Craig, I feel like probably like underachieved. Although, frankly, you know, I mean, look, James Bond movies have never been like incredible.
Yeah, and like I have to give these movies credit for trying to give some kind of depth to the James Bond character by making him like kind of like broken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's not the point of Bond.
Well, yeah, no, but it's a different.
We just want a spy movie.
It's a new like imagining. I don't know.
Like it's just like
it's fresher this way. I couldn't do like five more Pierce Brosnan ones. Although truthfully, isn't that what like all these Kingsman movies are pretty much?
Kind of, yeah. I am a big fan of the Kingsman movies, so. Well, the two.
Sam has watched
new
those.
The new one looks intriguing. I'm not even into that series.
But although it got pushed back like 6 months, and that makes me
that's not great. Well, so what was your thoughts on the latest installment with this trailer here? Because this was, I mean, it's been talked about for a while. What do we have, like a 4 or 5 year break? These movies, like, they don't come out as often as you'd think.
They
none of them ever have.
Yeah, well, it was like Quantum of Solace was like a year later. Or something, or like.
Oh yeah, it was pretty quick after. They banged out one right after another in the
look
late 2000s.
I saw this. I thought a lot of the stunts were pretty cool, and I'm not a guy who's like usually impressed by that kind of stuff. But I thought it looked like a cool action movie. And I mean, look, I don't care as much about the like James Bond mythos of like, you know, Blofeld and. I forget what even her name was.
M.
What's her actual name? No, the girl.
Moneypenny?
No, the love interest from the... Oh, you didn't even see it.
No, so. I didn't.
The love interest from the last one.
Green's character.
I can't... No. The doctor one from the last one who's in this. It's the same girl. I can't think of her name right now. It's
the
really
love interest
me.
Inspector?
Leah Seydoux. Oh. Who's in this movie? Anyway,
you're asking me to remember something from Spectre.
Yeah,
probably other than Quantum of the Solace, Quantum of Solace, like the most forgettable of the Daniel Craigs,
for sure. All right,
see, what I don't like about this is, or I guess what I don't appreciate about this is the when you transitioned Bonds, it was literally just you saw his face. And that was it. There was no pass off.
Okay.
So there was no pass off from who was it? Pierce Brosnan to
Craig.
Daniel Craig. And then there was no pass off from
Roger.
Connery.
No, it was,
Connery
no,
to
Dalton. Timothy Dalton.
Yeah, there was no pass off. And for this movie, I think they're doing a pass off.
Well, maybe.
No,
we don't know.
I don't think so.
This is going to be a pass off. Lashana Lynch is going to be the next 007.
Have they actually said that?
What do you think? What do you think is going to happen? Daniel Craig. This is Daniel Craig's last one.
Cynically, probably.
What do you think is going to happen?
But who knows? I don't think that's.
I don't think
they've had what 40 James Bond movies.
This is the 50th.
50th, and then there's suddenly a pass off at the end.
I think it's just Bond 40.
This can't be 50.
There's no way this is 50.
Or is this 50 years since Bond?
Is there 30?
I think it's 50 years of Bond.
Yeah, it's got to be 50 years. There's no way there's 50 movies.
They're in like 20s. Because I knew this was like Bond 50 or something. They had a number.
It's
got to
be 50 years of Bond. There's no way that 50 movies. No, not going to happen. But there's the pass off. There's definitely going to be a pass off. Or at least the introduction of this is the next one. And it just... I think it's just because they're trying to do female, which whatever, just give it to us like the last one.
I don't.
Hey, a female doctor has come off positive, so I mean, a female 007, why not?
Yeah, introduce her in the next movie. Why
honestly,
not?
Honestly, that's like just switch it up somehow. Like this Bond is honestly a little tired of a formula, which is why I liked what they did with Daniel Craig. Or it was like, let's just make him a little emotionally damaged.
Yeah.
Like, right. Rather than
in the world of sequels, you have to do things like that.
Sam, I have a question for you.
Charlie's Angel is not going
to
do
from bottom to top. Rank them. Rank your James Bond.
This is going
to
be
the
a Bonds. Long
no, okay.
No. Goodbye. This isn't going to take that long. There's like
not the movies.
Okay. The actual the James Bond.
I mean, like you got to have Connery at top.
All right. Who'd be your number two?
My number two, honestly,
George Lazenberry, right?
I think like Craig. I really like Craig as a Bond. Then I'd say
Pierce.
Yeah, I'd probably put Pierce at three.
Now you have
come on.
You have three left.
Now you have
three left.
You have who? Dalton,
Timothy Dalton. You have George Lazenby, and you have Roger Moore. Those are your last three.
You gotta choose Moore.
I am
over
going
Dalton.
To upset some people.
Don't say Dalton.
Dalton.
Jesus.
No. I really like him as a Bond. He was really like underused as
the
a Bond.
Stand-in Bond.
Like
the oh sorry,
Living
Pierce
Daylights.
Brosnan's on whatever that show was.
How many movies did Dalton do?
Two.
Yeah.
Living Daylights was actually like pretty good Bond movie.
Jeez.
But, all right. Well,
and then I'd go Moore, and then finally, what's his face?
George Lazenby. Who's also in Gettysburg.
Who did he play?
He's in there for like 3 seconds. He's like one of the generals in Pickett's Charge.
All right.
Like literally, he's in there for like 3 seconds.
Oh, Armistead? He wasn't Armistead.
No. No.
He was in Armistead, and he was in
Turner. Johnson Pettigrew. I've seen that movie so many times.
I love
times.
Gettysburg, dude. I love Gettysburg. I actually wanted to watch Angels and Demons the other day, just because I love all that.
I mean, you mean
Angels and
Demons?
You mean
Gods and Generals? I'm sorry, Gods and Generals.
Dude, don't.
This is the meander episode, I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah, it really all is. Right. It truly is. Friday night instead of a Wednesday night. So.
All right, let's transport or tell it whatever. MCU time. Been a while.
Yeah.
Been a hot minute.
It's been just Disney.
Yeah. What is even the name of this movie?
Black Widow.
Okay, I was going to call it Red Sparrow, and that's not at all the same movie.
That is the Jennifer...
kind of
Lawrence,
the same
thing. Jennifer Lawrence.
Hey, I mean, if it has J-Lo. The same sort of, you know, scenes in there. Anyway, Black Widow, which is obviously the spin-off movie for Scarlett Johansson's character in the MCU, and this is, I guess, a prequel. I mean, it doesn't take place after she died, clearly.
I believe this takes place after Civil War.
Okay. Okay. Oh, wait, the whole thing is after Civil War?
I think the movie is after Civil War.
Oh, so that makes it interesting.
That's what I've heard. Don't quote me on that.
All right.
But.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think it's after Civil War.
That sounds plausible from what I saw in the trailer. And let me tell you, at no point was I like, you know, oh yeah, let's go see Black Widow movie. This was like a pretty good trailer. Like,
I agree.
I agree. I was way more interested now to see this because, I mean, you got David Harbour in there. You have Florence Pugh, who's in Midsommar, you guys still haven't seen.
I will eventually see Midsommar. Trust me.
Anytime you want, man. I'll go watch it.
I will eventually
watch it. If you guys are going to watch it together, I'll watch it with you.
Okay. It's a date. Okay. And Rachel Weisz, is that?
That's
an interesting cast. Right. I was not expecting
that. It's a lot of non-Russian accents being Russian accents.
Yes. Yeah.
The accents were not hitting the mark.
But it's like Boris Natasha bad.
Yeah. Moose and squail.
outside of just not knowing they were in this movie and seeing them in this movie, I mean, it was pretty generic, like, Marvel trailer pretty much otherwise. I mean, it didn't, you know, stuff explodes.
I hope the family dynamic is she's Scarlet Witch is, you know, the serious
not
one.
Scarlet Witch
or
Black Widow.
Damn it,
her name is Scarlett Johansson.
Johansson.
She plays Black Widow.
I feel like I want the family dynamic to be she's like the serious one and all the other three are just kind of like,
well, you see, David hilarious. Harbour is just, looks like he's going to be hilarious.
Yeah, he's putting the suit on. He's like, it still fits.
He's
I kind of want them to
communist
have that.
Over here.
It's Red Guardian. That's
he's so ready for people to see his Hellboy performance in a different movie. you mean
tanked.
I get to be the big red guy? Okay.
Did that thing tank hard or what?
Yeah. Hey, it's coming on HBO soon, so stay tuned to my review because I'm going to put
myself
I'll
watch it
that.
When it goes on HBO. All right.
It's soon.
Are we doing another Mortal Engines on this where we
I
all
think
watch
so.
It?
Yeah, we can do that. I think we owe it to the fans.
Yeah, what did I do? I watched Angel Has Fallen, the last movie in the trilogy of Olympus Has Fallen.
Oh,
I will not talk about it. I will just write my review up on the thing.
Please,
yeah.
Please.
Hang on. Is it bad?
It's trequel. It's it's late.
No. Leave it there. No. That's a good word.
Leave it there.
That's the pull coat.
It's 10 o'clock at night. It's trilogy level rating. So.
We should do one of these at like 3 in the morning.
Yeah, it's not going to end well for me.
We'll do the Angel Has Fallen, or the Hellboy one at 3 in the morning. Hellboy review in a literal hell.
Hey, if somebody gives us a 5-star on iTunes, we'll definitely review a movie.
We will stay up. We'll watch it at 3 in the morning. We'll start it at like midnight.
Hey, let's stop making caveats. God forbid, but there's watch it be like 30 people 5 stars.
I know.
And then it's 6 different movies and we all have to watch them at
all Hellboy.
Yeah. I'm just saying, Hellboy, what you do is you watch it at midnight, but you drink heavily the entire time. And then you review it afterwards if you can remember.
Cool.
Talk about a meandering podcast?
All right. Any last thoughts on Black Widow?
I honestly wasn't that impressed with this. Okay. I felt like it looked like a G.I. Joe movie. And I think...
Minus Channing Tatum.
So here's the thing.
The CGI
It's a trailer, though.
A weird thing now where like the trailer is like 90% CGI, but it's all bad? Because I feel like we just get these all the time now.
Yeah.
It didn't used to be.
Well, like, here's the thing. I think it's like I think it was in the G.I. Joe trailer where somebody's riding in a tank and they come out and pull out a bow and arrow. And I think that's the sole reason why... When I watch this, I'm like, is this a G.I. Joe trailer?
Right.
See, I'm still wondering if I'm in a Marvel food coma right now.
Yeah.
Because
you had your fill.
Yeah, but I don't really want any more just yet. You know, granted, it's in May.
Yeah,
but,
that's the thing. Like,
but still, it might be a little bit too early.
Far From Home in this one is huge.
Well, here's the thing. It's in May, and the next one is until December.
Yeah, I still think that might be... So, May might be too soon for me, just in general.
What's December? Is that Doctor Strange?
That's The Eternals.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Anyway. We'll see. But, you know, listen... This we got to wait till May for this one, but Disney has no shortage of franchises,
God, no.
And IP to kickstart again. We got a Mulan trailer. How about that, guys?
Second one, actually.
The second one.
Oh, okay.
I don't seeing the first one.
I remember seeing it, but never watching it. Like being like, oh, look, a Mulan trailer.
No, I actually watched the original.
Trailer?
It's like a teaser trailer where it's like a lot of pictures, but no plot.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so this is an actual trailer.
Like an announcement.
Like the first trailer.
Yeah, sort of thing. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're unaware, you live a life of bliss. But, you know, like everything else, they're doing a live-action version of an animated classic. Although this one, I feel like, is actually...
Well, this one's a bit different because I remember reading about it where it's like, this one deals more with the actual traditional story of Mulan.
Yes.
Oh, that's
rather
right.
Than
I totally
the
because
comic yeah.
The cartoon. Yeah, the animated one strayed a lot from the classic tale of Mulan, which is based on a true story. But that pissed off a lot of the Chinese viewers and you know Chinese Americans who watched it were like, this isn't Mulan. So my hopes. Is that it focuses more on the actual tale, which I, from like Sam just said, kind of sounds like it is supposed to, which is good, which is what these remakes are supposed to be doing, is improving on what has already been done. They did it. They fixed their mistakes. They're moving on and doing it correct this time. And I like that.
But if also look at it as if you're going to do a live action movie, do it where there's actual people in the cartoon. So, like, The Lion King, Jungle Book, whatever.
Yeah.
It's, you know, actually have a human in it, and this seems like they're going in the right...
Yeah, no, and...
Right direction.
I mean, I didn't mind Mulan. I mean, I'm a little upset this is 100% less Eddie Murphy in it. Mm. But...
but that'd be incredible if he was still in it.
I know.
Like, my God.
Who's the demon?
That must be like the other girl or the other version of her that we saw. It was like a hawk.
Because the bad guy has a hawk that he like as a pet that flies around. So I think it's more of a magical version of that hawk because it looks like she has hawk hands, even like the Italians.
Well, they mentioned they have a witch with her, so him.
Right. So I guess his hawk is a witch.
Yeah, I guess this is going to be a bit more. superstitious mystical? Or mystical. Mystical would be probably a better word. But then the cartoon.
Yeah.
Still.
I wonder. Eddie Murphy. Yeah. I wonder what a movie like this does in China. Because it's like English movie in China about China.
Right.
Just we'll find out. Great Wall. Whatever the Great Wall does.
No, but that was a Chinese movie.
Yeah. And it wasn't good.
This feels.
It's some of the stuff is actually pretty. I want to say cool.
Yeah, but I am going to see this opening weekend because this is Mulan is Amy's favorite Disney movie of all time. So I will be seeing this opening weekend.
Are they doing songs in this?
I don't know because in the trailer
there wasn't any, but except for the score. Yeah,
the score was.
Yeah, and when the general's song. Like, "I'm going to make a man out of you." Which is a song at the.
The songs are like, I mean, I don't know. The songs kind of make it like a kids' movie, you know? Otherwise, it's just like.
I can't
lack
see.
Lack of a better word, like a shittier version of a real movie.
This is going to be a weird movie coming out because it could so easily be a PG-13 movie, but you know Disney's pushing for PG.
Speaking of songs making it a kids' movie. We want to do the Frozen review now?
Yeah, let's freeze it up.
Freeze it up. Okay, so...
it isn't like it's 28 degrees outside anyway.
I know, no, it's cold. So Frozen 2 came out. It basically picks up where Frozen 1 left off, but it's about how or why Elsa got her powers. So it follows...
Is it lesbianism?
It is not!
Oh!
Yeah, so I heard a lot of people being like, oh, she gets a girlfriend in this. I'm like, really? That's kind of hot.
dude.
And I thought I crossed a boundary when I said, is it lesbianism? But no. All right.
Anyways, I heard that she was supposed to have a girlfriend in this, and I was like, really? We'll see. And then I, you know, after watching it, I was like... She has no love interest in this movie, and I'm okay with that.
Let's not spoil.
No, that's this. Not a spoil.
No, I know, but let's not spoil just what's going on.
No,
because I will see it. It's just...
No, more or less, it is. It's just about Elsa trying to find her powers, and you know Anna being by her side the whole time.
Well does she fall in love with herself? Because technically, that's a lesbian.
Sam. No,
I'm trying to work with people here. All right,
now, so it's the usual cast: Olaf and
usual
Kristoff.
Cast. There's the new people, so it introduces. The magical forest to the north, which plays a huge part of this. Also, the forest to the north is protected by the four spirits: the earth spirit, the fire spirit, the wind spirit, and the water spirit.
And Captain Planet,
and Heart.
Damn it, John! I was about to make a Avatar reference. I was like, everything was in balance until the Fire Nation attacked.
Found a pen holder.
Oh God! It's very magic heavy. Obviously, it does make a lot of callbacks to the first movie. Some in nice ways, some in hilarious ways. All in all, I left this movie. I was like, yeah, that was a pretty good movie. I went to see it with my mother-in-law and my wife, and Amy, my wife, came out and. Like afterwards, I was like, every time we ever see a movie, I say, did you like it? And what was your favorite part? It's kind of like our thing every time we see a movie. And I said, did you like it? She said, honestly, I think it might have been better than the first one. So I was like, wow.
With the songs and everything, too?
Yeah, everything.
She certainly let it go.
She let the first one go, and now she's on to the second. It was a good movie. It was a solid movie. Don't know if they're going to make a Frozen 3 because literally there's a point where Olaf is like, is us like almost dying going to be a regular thing or are we done? And Elsa's like, no, we're done. So I'm like, is that like them being like, this is it, everyone. Maybe, no more Frozen 3.
Maybe Frozen 3 is just like a marriage story. But between, what's her face?
Anna and Kristoff?
Yeah. Where, like, they're in love, but then they get divorced.
Well, every time you see, what is it, in Idrina Menzel.
Idina Menzel.
Yeah, and
Kristen, Idina Menzel.
No, no, I didn't go that bad. And then Kristen Bell, you see him, it's like, we can't escape it. It's this is what we do.
And
I think they're almost fed up with it to the point where it's just like, we're done.
Idina Menzel like has a legit reason. She's like, yeah, I'm known as Elsa, but I was the Wicked Witch of the West in Wicked. Yeah. I was the original Wicked Witch of the West. Like, that is my claim to fame, and how Elsa overtook that is insane.
She's going
to
be in
Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems, which is apparently a great movie, which I refuse to believe.
That's been getting some decent reviews.
Man, let me tell you.
I'm just like, it's got Adam Sandler in it.
Christmas.
Is it Christmas?
So maybe that's going to cut into Star Wars.
Five movies I want to see.
Not that I'm moving on from Frozen because I still have to give my final review. But for Uncut Gems, did you guys hear Adam Sandler like about his role in that? Oh my god, I want this movie to fail.
Oh
no! Did you hear what he said?
No.
So he said, if I don't win an Oscar for my role in Uncut Gems, I will intentionally make the worst movie ever.
Wait,
Jack and Jill isn't the worst movie ever?
That's not what he's been doing for the past 10 years?
So now I want to know. Yeah. I want to know what Adam Sandler's worst is.
No, you want to see him succeed. Oh, if he doesn't win.
If he doesn't win, he will make the worst movie ever, and I kind of want that.
What is that?
Right? Like, I'm so curious.
Didn't you guys watch The Room?
You should just do it anyway.
Yes, but The Room had lighting.
Why does it, you know...
Jack and Jill didn't have lighting?
Well, no, but, like, if he's going to make the worst movie ever, like, the worst movie I've ever seen is Manos, The Hands of Fate.
Without a doubt. The worst 65 minutes of my life.
Terrible lighting, terrible audio, like, basic shit.
Yeah.
And, like, so if he's going to make the worst movie ever, it's not going to have good lighting. It's going to have, like, all of it, like...
Listen, Sam's seen Boo 2.
Yeah, I've also seen that, which inexplicably, the audio fails in one section of it. Like, just for some reason, even though this is like an actual like series of movies that Tyler Perry has made.
You said Perry.
I've been drinking a lot, all right?
He's drinking to forget about
Tyler Perry. He's had literally two beers.
I've had three. All right, I had one before you showed up.
Ooh, big hitter.
Five hours ago.
Anyways, going back to my movie.
5 hours ago.
All right.
So I just wanted to give my number. I gave it an 8.9.
That's wow.
It is a good movie. I do
where
like
would
this
you,
movie.
Where would you have put the first one if you had
to? Probably a 9.1.
Okay.
The
music wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. Because Let It Go is just a phenomenal song. I mean, I own the album. Like, that's how much I like Frozen 1. So, yeah. I mean...
Could you... And I won't hold this super hard to you, but...
Right.
Could you complete this sentence? Frozen/Frozen 2 is a top what Disney animated movie of, like, all time?
I would probably put them top 5.
So, not top 3. Right?
No, not
so
top
not, 3. Or 2.
No.
Or 4.
No.
Okay, 5.
I would say top 5.
Well, no, we'll I do feel Disney. Like have after... we done Disney ratings?
No,
rankings
we have not.
Ever?
We'll think about that.
Yeah.
All right. What's next?
Next is Con on Crown.
Oh, go ahead, crown it up.
Maybe we can.
Oh my god, you keep pushing it back.
Yeah,
all right.
You're the one that pushed.
He actually finished the season.
Okay.
If you wanted to say.
Let's talk Crown.
Go really quick. 5 minutes.
This is a show that. I mean, it touches a lot of my buttons. I love history.
Yeah.
Big Anglophile, like the Brits.
I'm not so much on that, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not exactly a monarchist, but I could see myself being one.
well, like, I'm coming from a different boat where it's like, I'm not exactly a monarchist at all, but at the same time, like, I enjoy emotionally damaged people.
Right. Yeah, it really does, like, you know, towards the end of the third season, you're like, a lot of these people are awful. Like, literally, the queen is the only one who's, like, doesn't have, like, significant, like, character flaws.
Yeah.
And, I mean, she does sort of in her own way. But they're not actually, like, you know, a philanderer or, like, you know, an alcoholic or Philip who's just, like, I don't know.
or Edward who's a Nazi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is the first season, which is, like, I thought was, like, a great episode of the first season where they're, like... like, especially at the end where they're like, oh, here's all these actual pictures of him conforting with Hitler and going to a concentration camp.
So the big part with the third season is, despite really only progressing a year or two from the prior, they refresh the cast.
Which is cool. Like, yeah. I really thought was a cool idea.
Yeah, and I didn't realize at the time it was only going to be like a year or two like forward. But it's a good idea because I think this cast, like, look, I don't want to choose between my children, so to speak. But I think this cast is like a little bit better. And also incorporating like the kids. Like, I think the guy who plays Prince Charles is like good. And he like clearly...
He nails the... I'm a really repressed, emotionally kind of damaged kid who's never had the love of his parents.
And he definitely has all of like the same mannerisms. Like, he would know exactly who he is. And he doesn't like look super like him.
Yeah, well, it's not an impression.
Right.
But it's like it nails the character.
Yeah. I don't know. It's good. If you like history, I couldn't recommend it higher. I mean, I think it's actually come up my ranks to like a very good show, not just a good show that I happen to love or like, really like.
I just always love the episodes that deal with like British politics.
Yeah, and the guy who's the prime minister in most of this season too, I thought he was fantastic. And it's like, great too, because you know he's the Labour guy, so he's the far left. You think he's gonna be? I mean, like
the first episode,
they're like, oh well, maybe he's a communist spy,
and then it turns out it's the other guy.
Yeah.
Because literally, like, that whole episode, I was, like, on Wikipedia, like, was he a communist spy?
Yeah, there's some statistic of, like, the Wikipedia searches for, like, all things British royal family and the events of the show just spike when the season gets released. That's
literally what I'm doing when I'm watching this. I'm like, did that actually happen?
Yeah, because it's cool, too, because it's not, like, you know, Forrest Gump or whatever, where it's all stuff that, like, you know, and you're waiting for all these, like, cultural, like, touchstone moments to happen. I mean, like, you're somewhat familiar with British history, but it's still like that mining incident. I had no idea.
Yeah, I had no idea about that.
And I mean, it's pretty tragic. But
this was a very Welsh heavy season.
Yeah, it was. We had a whole episode
on like Welsh.
And I love the guy who was the who's in Star Wars actually. The teacher.
Yeah,
he's like one of the I was gonna call him Nazis. First Order. He's one of the generals.
Oh.
Anyway. Oh, he's also the general in Chernobyl, too. The guy who, like, drives the truck up to the
That's right.
The thing. Yeah. Anyway, check out The Crown.
I like that one, that episode, because they're speaking Welsh the whole time.
Yeah, which is
great.
Its own thing.
Because, like, you forget, like, Welsh is a thing.
Yeah, but I think that's definitely, like, a nationalistic thing. Like, it's not, I mean, like, you go there, you speak English, but there's plenty of people who do speak Welsh.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they were speaking Welsh at home on purpose.
Right. So, anyway, that is Con on Crown.
Like, wow. You got that out of your system for now?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen the two of you so, like, more zoned out to a conversation.
Sorry.
I think you would actually kind of like it.
Hey, I zoned in when you guys mentioned Star Wars.
We're going to be even more... zoned out when Sean does his cultural appropriation thing.
I would.
No, you won't.
If I had to recommend it to the two, I would recommend it to Chris first.
What, The Crown?
Yeah.
I usually consider watching it, too.
You'd be more interested in that, Sean.
Yeah. The only thing, like, I've seen clips from the newest season with Helena Bonham Carter, or however the fuck you say her name.
She's playing the
and, like,
Princess
clips,
Margaret.
Yeah,
Margaret,
and I'm like, it seems kind of funny, but
funny because she played the Queen Mother in King's Speech.
Yeah.
Oh right. Yeah. That. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good movie.
There's a lot of people playing one role.
Like,
another.
You would enjoy The Crown. Think of, like, the King's Speech.
Oh yeah.
But series.
I bet you I would. It's just it's time at this point. You know.
Yeah.
It's time.
Just hop on in. Man.
It is time.
I know, but
it's good, too, because it's, like, very episodic. Like, I mean, obviously, it's the same people week in, week out. Although, not really. I mean, like you know, Helen Bonham... Jesus Christ. You see her the first couple episodes, and then... Oh, we do have to talk about one thing, though. So you see her first couple episodes, but then she's really not part of the show as much until, like, the last two. One thing we do have to talk about is how, so the second episode, Princess Margaret, who's Helen I'm not even going to bother.
Miss Carter.
Princess Margaret, you know what I'm talking about. She goes to the U.S. and they like, so Clancy Brown, who's the prison guard in Shawshank Redemption, who's been in
Mr. Krabs.
Is he Mr. Krabs?
He is Mr. Krabs. Oh,
wow. I never knew that, but that makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Clancy Brown is Clancy.
Well, Mr. anyway, Krabs? He plays LBJ. And they have these settings that are supposed to be the White House.
Oh, God.
Like, it's clearly, you know, it's filmed in England and then some other places, but not the U.S. or anything close to,
like,
the White House.
Imagine the White House, but like three times as small. Oh, and that's the exterior.
But also incredibly ornate.
Yeah, like, the interior is incredibly ornate, which is like, you couldn't find an Oval Office set anywhere in the world. Like, you could have set so much of this in the Oval Office, and there's like 50 bajillion Oval Office sets out there.
Right.
And you couldn't find one. And then, like, at the same time, what really annoyed me about that is, like, LBJ, just as a character of history, is incredibly interesting because he's like a man of conundrums, where he's like, he's a man who passed,
you mean,
the most
not conundrums, Jesus Christ, I can't say it. No, you don't mean conundrums.
Well, kind of a conundrum, but like,
contradictions.
Yeah, whereas, like, he's a man who used the N-word, who passed the most, like, sweeping civil rights legislation ever. And, like,
was it weird when he just kept saying it over and over again in this episode?
Yeah.
He doesn't, I'm not.
Yeah. But they boil him down to, like, this, like
Texas good old boy.
Texas good old boy.
Likes, like, a good story.
Likes a good story, and who's also, like, really insecure about, like, JFK, which is kind of true about him. But, like, they boil him down to, like, this not very interesting guy. And I felt like that was kind of a waste of who he really was. Where it's like, you could have played him up so much better, but at the same time, it's like, this is also about the royal family, not about him.
Right. All right, well, we do have to move on. Sam, how many crowns out of five do you give this season?
I give it a 3.5.
All right, I'm going to go 4.5 crowns. Keep that list separate from the movies.
Oh, okay, I will.
Okay. All right. Sean, can you go, like, a little quick? I know we just had
Long. You know me. My Frozen review was pretty quick, minus that whole Uncut Gems fiasco that happened.
So you've seen a triumvirate of Disney movies here.
I have.
That are all, well, you can explain.
Yeah. So we're moving on to my political correctness, my PC, or whatever you want to call this corner.
You made me say cultural appropriation.
Sorry, cultural appropriation corner, which makes more sense. So two movies that I saw recently, Lady and the Tramp, and the new one that just came out for Disney Plus. Yeah. And I also watched Tim Burton's Dumbo. Now, if you don't understand why those two have anything to do with cultural appropriation, oh, I will get into that.
quick.
I'm working quick. So unlike the other two movies that have come out this year that were based off of a Disney classic, these two, they are kind of well known for not being very kind to foreigners, I guess you would say.
Well, yeah, I mean,
one of them is less foreign.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true. Yeah, you have
minorities.
We treat them like foreigners, but we'll get into that when we talk about Watchmen. But
so we'll start with Lady and the Tramp. So it's basically just a retelling, but with dogs, with, you know, new people voicing them. The one thing this has going for it, it's a 100% more Sam Elliott. So I'm all for that. But
honestly, a thing.
It is a thing.
He's not one of the dogs.
He is. He plays the bloodhound.
Oh yeah, he would.
Which, he would. And I'm like, he would. Thank you, Disney, for casting him as the bloodhound.
Could I really quick aside? Go ahead. See the trailer for that Willem Dafoe movie? That's like Balto or whatever.
No, I did not. But I saw
it's funny because that's a real dog, unlike the Harrison Ford Call of the Wild. And you know what? It doesn't look fucking stupid.
And it's got William Dafoe.
And
so.
it is Willem Dafoe, who I might just see every movie he's in now.
I know. I really, yeah.
Hang on. Is he the same character as Lighthouse?
No.
Because I want him to be.
Is he a wiki that goes to Alaska? Like,
which makes a dog want to be a wiki?
He really does have range.
He does.
Oh, yeah. Willem Dafoe. Oh,
yeah, really William does. Dafoe is an excellent
It's really
actor.
Incredible. Like, I would love to see him win an Oscar for The Lighthouse. It's never going to happen.
I agree.
But, my God, it'd be... I mean, if he gets nominated,
how do you know? Like, there hasn't been a ton of good movies out this year.
We'll see. It's a tough... I mean, it's always a tough category. Anyway.
Anyways, back to my movies. So the big difference between this movie and the original cartoon is the We Are Siamese song is no longer in it.
What?
I forgot that song.
Yeah, that's why this is cultural appropriation.
I've seen Lady and the Tramp for...
When you brought this up, I was like, is that in this movie or Aristocrats?
No, it's Lady and the Tramp.
Does the Italian guy at the restaurant seem like less Italian?
Yeah. No, yeah. Luigi is still in there. And
less like he's in-your-face Italian.
Yeah.
Like a Mario from the games Italian.
From the Super Mario Brothers. Yeah, no. But so, like, the fact that they cut out those cats, but the cats are still in it, but that now they play, like, they sing kind of like a jazzy kind of song because it is in New Orleans. So they kind of, it's more of like a jazzy song, which I'm like, this is kind of stupid, but I'll allow it because of what it's replacing. Yeah. So I understand. So based on all that, it's basically the same story, same everything. So I ended up giving it, because it was straight to and did really nothing other than take that out. I gave it a 5.9.
It's not good.
Not good, but like it wasn't bad. It felt a little long at times, especially, which is one of the problems with these Disney classics turned to a live action is a lot of the Disney classics are like 70 minutes long. And you make a movie now and it has to be at least 90 minutes long or more. And that kind of hurts it in the long run.
It's just not there.
I will admit, the way I rate like Disney classics that they're remaking now is like, is it different?
Right. And
which is why like I honestly kind of enjoyed Maleficent, even though it wasn't
that great of a movie. But it was
like,
different.
Let's tell the story from the witch's perspective and make her kind of sympathetic. Right. And it's a
unique twist, which I like.
I haven't seen the sequel.
I like the Lady and the Tramp because it cut out the offensive part, which is good. But everything else was basically the same.
Yeah,
but like I said, Sam Elliott's in it. So,
which isn't that
good.
Impressive. It's like, okay, right. I can just go back and watch the cartoon,
right.
Which is better.
Which, honestly, the best thing out of this whole movie was the fact that all the dogs that were a part of this movie were all shelter dogs, and all of them were adopted after the movie. Which I'm like, you know what? That's awesome. Thank you. And the Scottish Terrier, they gender swapped it, which I'm like, it's a dog. I really don't care. Like, no one should have a problem with this. I'm okay with
it. Wait, like, the character?
Yeah, the
or
Scottish...
just a female playing a male?
No, it's the Scottish Terrier, which was Scotty, I believe.
It was a male in the original.
It was a male in the original. In this one, it's a female.
Okay. Is the other one a female? Wait.
There's only one Scottish Terrier.
Oh, no.
Lady in the Tramp.
Okay. I've never seen Lady in the Tramp. I thought that was the main dog.
Sean was thinking, we got,
she's
like...
She's a Cocker Spaniel.
Sean was thinking, like, gay dogs.
Yeah. Okay.
And,
I had a joke sort of... Well, no.
It's Justin... Was it Justin Trudeau and... Yeah. Valkyrie.
What? Wait,
Tessa
say Justin Trudeau?
Yeah, no.
Tessa Thompson.
Tessa Thompson, yeah.
Wait, Justin Trudeau?
Like the Canadian Prime Minister?
No, not that. Yeah,
no, Thoreau.
Timberlake?
Thoreau.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry. Different guy.
My bad.
What?
Yeah, no, the Canadian Prime Minister plays the tramp.
Well, who knows?
Hang on. Was he in blackface when he was doing
Anyways, moving on.
That's a reference for our Canadian fans.
All right.
So moving on. So I also watched Dumbo recently, which is Tim Burton took the helm of that one, and because he split up with, Lady Margaret.
We're gonna pass.
Because they broke up. Now he has Ava Green as like his new muse, who's in every single one of his movies.
Oh, is he like?
No. Thank God.
Because that would I mean, yeah, I mean, for him, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. This is their third collaboration, after Dark Shadows and Miss Peregrine's Home of Four Extraordinary Children. But so it, you know, it's Dumbo. Like, we all know Dumbo, but yep. This Dumbo has no crows. which is fine.
What's the point then?
And instead of the mouse that helps him fly, it's the kids, which is okay.
I forget all of these movies.
I know, right? I watched it and I was like, oh yeah. Because it's been a long time since I've seen Dumbo. So I actually had to Google where Dumbo ends and Tim Burton's stupidity begins. For this movie, and basically halfway through the movie, Dumbo ends. And then there's, unfortunately, the Michael Keaton part of this movie, which I like Michael Keaton. He definitely has had a renaissance of a career in the second half. This does not help at all. He plays this big showman guy who has his own park. Think Disney. So he finds out about Dumbo. He goes to Danny DeVito's character and is like, hey, I'll sign a partnership with you, but bring Dumbo and you can bring all your freaks with you because, you know, it's, I have to set the setting because this matters. It is post World War I and Colin Farrell's character is missing an arm. He used to be a horse rider. He lost his arm in the war, and that's where we're at for that character. His wife is dead, has two kids who teach Dumbo.
This is really deep on Dumbo, I just gotta tell you.
Oh my god, there's a reason why I'm telling you these things. So Dumbo goes to the new circus, he learns to fly with Ava Green on his back, everybody's happy, but then they realize, hey, Dumbo's mom is here too, in the scary part, because she's a crazy elephant. So, because he's bad, Michael Keaton's character basically goes to Danny DeVito and is like, fire all your people. I don't want them around anymore because they suck. And all of them have a heart of gold and plan to break out Dumbo and his mom because Dumbo wants to be with his mom. But Michael Keaton wants to kill the Dumbo mom. And so they hatch this plan. They break her out and break him out and the whole place burns to the ground and, you know, that's how it ends. So Alan Arkin, was it Arkin is in this? That the actor, was it Al, is that? Is,
Alan Alda?
Alda, I think it's Alan Alda.
Alan Alda.
Sorry. He's in this film and he plays this banker guy who seems a little bad, but he's not really that bad. He's just a banker guy.
Bankers are.
Yeah, exactly. He was supposed to be that character was supposed to be played by Christopher Walken. So
Walken. Oh, no, it was Alan Arkin.
Yeah, it was Alan Arkin. Thank you. So Christopher Walken dropped out of the movie, and so they signed Alan Arkin.
Dumbo.
It's just as bad. So they went up to Alan Arkin and were like, listen, we really wanted Christopher Walken in this role. Can you just do a Christopher Walken impression the whole time? And so he did.
Oh, man. I can't get my Christopher Walken impression together, but I can just imagine.
But him doing a Christopher Walken impression the whole time. And it's so bad. They literally have the Let's Get Ready to Rumble guy as the ringleader.
He says, let's get ready for Dumbo.
He goes, let's get ready for Dumbo.
I thought that was incredible.
Oh, my God. It is so stupid. But it tops everything, the stupidity of the second act of this movie is just topped off by the finale, the final part. So at the very end, Danny DeVito's character has a heart at the end. He helps out all his people. They end up freeing Dumbo, who goes to India and has a new life with his mom.
Oh, cool.
Which is nice. But he's
an Indian elephant?
Yes, he is. He's not an African.
It even makes it more ironic that he's got the small ears.
Exactly. Fly, huh? Yeah. So then it shows the new circus with Danny DeVito's characters.
Then they're in India, and then a guy shoots his mom while they're driving across the road, and she they fall off a bridge. Oh no, that's the Bourne supremacy.
So
And then he goes on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah.
Right.
And then he
and
gets...
then he's just Gandhi.
And then he's on a boat.
He becomes this big Bollywood star.
He's on a boat and like the boat crashes, so it's just him and a tiger on a small raft.
There you go, yeah.
Anyways, right. But
how many racist crows out of five do you give it?
So the worst part of this movie, once again, like I said, Colin Farrell lost his arm, World War I. They show the circus at the end. He's riding horses again. And he raises up his fake arm, which he's had the entire movie that has come on and off. And it's a fucking robotic arm. Why is it a robotic arm? Wait,
okay. Well, I mean, I think it's like steampunk or whatever.
No, it's not. At no point has it ever, like... established that's, itself as that. It's like a random stupid part where at the very end he's like, oh, I have a robotic arm. And it makes those kind of noises.
Yeah.
It's like, it's like so dumb.
I mean, it's a movie where, you know, an elephant.
But
flies.
It's Tim Burton, dude.
I mean,
what do you expect?
Did he then come out with like scissors too?
Right. Like, but like, up until that point, it was kind of like.
So believable.
Right. Well, other than an elephant flying, yeah, it was like it was over the top, and but it was like it was grounded to a point.
Right.
It was like up until that point, that's when like Tim Burton was like, "Hey guys, you should have a robotic hand, even though those don't exist even today."
Like,
everybody was like, "Yeah, sure." That
I like
makes
how
sense.
You're like flying elephant because he has big ears. Sure. Robotic arm in the 1940s? No, I'm that's
never,
too far.
Sir.
That
never.
Is too far.
No, I don't know. It was just such a stupid thing. But
that took you out of it.
You must hate the best years of our lives.
Tim Burton's overrated.
He he has a few good movies. I will give him that. Yeah. But more or less,
what are you rating this one?
5.4. It was bad.
Okay. We just spent 20 minutes talking about 2 5 out of 10 movies.
Yeah, we did.
I know, but
we really did.
But the two things these things did right was take out the insensitive parts.
Right.
Who cares? I'll still watch the originals anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
Somebody needs to make a cut of the movie 1941 where they digitally insert this version of Dumbo into the scenes where he's watching Dumbo in the movie theater.
Oh my.
Zoot suit, sir.
All right. Let's
moving on.
So we're gonna briefly go over Watchmen and Mandalorian.
Yep. Mando.
Mando
let's,
first.
Let's do Mando really quick. Two episodes since we're taping on a Friday. Yep. Let's talk last week really quick.
All right.
Because it's literally just like the Magnificent Seven or right. Seven Samurai, whatever you want
to
call it.
Yeah, Seven Samurai.
Yeah, the original.
Let's just get to the important thing. There's an AT-ST.
Loved it.
Yeah, that was
loved
sweet.
It.
Love that.
It was totally terrifying.
Great episode.
Was acting like a T-Rex the whole time.
Great episode. Speaking of which, kudos to Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah.
She was the director of that.
That was a cool episode. Which,
it was a very nice episode.
We all were like, this was a cool episode, but I checked, like, the IMDb rating?
It was low.
This is the lowest one so far.
I don't know why.
Yeah,
because ATST was great.
ATST.
I understand why.
I bet just people who's like, oh, we saw an ATST, but we didn't see anything else from the Empire. I'm like,
it was like a slowed down. It was like a slowed down version of the show from what we've been given so far. Like there wasn't a
whole
lot of
action. Well, then this previous episode was even slower. Yeah. So
well, like also, like this was probably one of the best like Baby Yoda episodes.
I agree. Well, so
we had Baby Yoda's drinking tea, which became
a meme.
God,
that was great.
Sipping bone broth,
eating some frogs. It's,
I mean,
he didn't eat it this time.
Spit it out.
I can't believe, by the way. Like, look, if they'd done Baby Yoda in like any other Star Wars IP, I'd be, and you explained it to me, I'd be like, that's the dumbest shit in the world.
Yeah.
But God, this works so much. And I think it's just because they do the live version and it looks good.
Yeah.
And it looks adorable.
So Sam and I were talking about earlier about what's the actor's
Werner
name?
Werner Herzog.
Yeah, how there was a scene where they were unsure if they were even going to have the Baby Yoda. So they were like, we'll just like not film it with the Baby Yoda in it. And we'll just CGI it in like at a later date. Mm-hmm. And he flipped out and called them cowards for not having the puppet in the scene.
Yeah, Werner Herzog apparently is obsessed with this puppet.
Yes. Like he would talk to it like it was a real person, like treated it like a real person, like loved this thing.
But he has, which is funny though, because if you talk to him about like any other part of this show or Star Wars, he's like never seen them.
Right.
Yeah.
But like he loves Baby Yoda.
Yeah, he's just obsessed by Baby Yoda.
He's probably like, it's a paycheck in the Star Wars, so yeah, but it's going to go on forever.
Yeah, but apparently he was in love with this puppet. Like
he's an interesting character. So the rest of the episode, we did get introduced to, I think she's recurring, if I remember the cast.
Maybe? Yeah.
What, is anybody...
Oh, God.
If I, like, put a gun to all of our heads, would we all be dead if I had to tell what her name was?
Wasn't she like a WWE? I think it's
Nina something.
I don't know.
Who's looking it up?
She was really...
I got it.
And, like, that's a character who...
She plays Cara Dune, that's it.
Cara Dune.
Her, Gina Carano. She is from Deadpool.
She
was in Deadpool.
She was a MMA one.
She was.
Because, like, listen, we've gotten the, like, really, like, tough female character before, and sometimes they've been, like, comically underdeveloped.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, not that we got, like, a shitload of depth here, but I liked her.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she was a.
I'll see more. I'll see more of her.
She was a shock trooper for the resistance.
An ex-rebellion.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but for the rebellion, because there's no rebellion.
Like, yeah, during the rebellion, it was fun, but once it was over, like, I was just escorting senators around, and like that wasn't what I signed up for. Right. So she went AWOL.
Yeah,
she needed to get back out into this shit.
I love how they keep going to different worlds, though.
Tatooine, shit. Sorry.
I love how they kept going to different worlds until the last episode. But
yeah, I was fine with them going back to Tatooine.
Yeah, and the first name drop, the first actual planet name drop.
Yeah, you finally found out what the first planet was.
Yep. I forgot the name. Far.
No, it begins with an N.
Nar something.
Fargo.
Narvo.
Narvo. We're just going to call it Narvo. But this episode, we back, man. We back at the Tat. Tatooine, Mos Eisley.
Mos Eisley.
There's a lot of name Square. Drops.
Not just name drops. There were so many callbacks and like fan services.
I mean, that's the cantina, right?
Yes, that was the cantina.
Because that's the same bartender, like the guy sitting where fucking Han and Lando is, right?
Yeah. Not Lando.
Greedo.
Yeah.
And,
Everything was just a it was just a
Beggar's Canyon reference, Womp Rat,
Juicy,
like literally
Pit droids. I mean, come on.
We had the Mando literally at one point say, "That's my line."
Yeah, that's how the episode started. You literally have him say, "He's no good to me dead," or "She's no good to us to me dead." You know.
But they did drop the ball though. We didn't get any Watto.
That's true. We didn't get any Toydarians.
You would think, though.
Well, he's in Mos Espa.
Yeah.
That's why. Which, the person they were going after, she was supposed to be going to Mos Espa, which is another name drop. And the Hutts, name drop.
This episode was more name drops than anything
else. It was all fan service. I mean, you had the Tusken Raiders.
Mm-hmm. But, like... We say fan service, and it's usually a four-letter word. I like it; just works in this one.
It does,
I agree. Like because it's stuff that I just haven't seen before, or like I've seen like once for like 10 seconds.
Yeah,
you know.
I wasn't that crazy about this episode because it was just like I enjoyed us going to planets I've never seen. Like I liked the last episode. Or it's like we went to this like forest planet we've never seen that was kind of swampy, and like we saw like krill farmers, which is apparently like,
what the fuck is that? Yeah, no. Like those like blue tanks when they're going into the raiders, whatever the hell the raiders were.
Like this is what I want a Star Wars show to be, which is just like let's just explore this universe in places that the movies would never touch.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I like we get. I'm fine if it's like 80% that and 20% like playing the hits.
Right, and we're at five episodes in, and one of the episodes has been pure.
I will say this: I do think the last two have probably been weaker on the whole than the first four.
I agree,
but I've still enjoyed them, and I think it's like, look, this is like a fine show that is like made awesome to me because it's Star Wars and it's done at a high level. Not just because it's Star Wars, but it's done well for like Star Wars stuff.
And it's been very minimal CGI, which has been really nice.
Actually, I've been meaning to bring this up. Have you heard about this like technology they're doing? Like so they do this thing where like they shoot on green screens, but it's like super advanced.
Really?
And they're like matching it with like actual outdoor shots, but like when the camera moves, like the can't think of the actual name. It's like the vortex or whatever moves. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like the so it looks like they're actually moving
right,
like across. Right, but it's because yeah. that's okay. that's what it is. I mean, they've shot at all these different locations.
Oh yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like you know, it looks legit. I mean, like the planets look convincing. It you know, yeah. and like clearly
a
they're
lot
not.
More convincing than episode two.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
that is.
I mean, most of the prequels really.
Well, episode one was easily the best.
They did some like location shots.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, yeah, all yeah, you're right. Shot. They were actually in
episode
the desert.
Two.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
was all on in like a set. Yeah, like in everywhere two, was. Much. And then yeah, episode three was kind of the same.
Shoot in front of a blue screen,
but it was a little better done.
I mean, well, three was like okay because like none of those planets were supposed to be like Earth-like planets,
right?
So it's like, oh yeah, I can kind of.
That like, makes sense. They would
yeah,
do that
exactly. Yeah.
I still stand by. This is like a top five Star Wars thing, like fair. Like, and I don't think it's even close.
We're 5 weeks in on this, and we've only been introduced to Mando for these five episodes, and I'm so obsessed. I'm making a suit. I love this character. Like, he's everything you want a Mandalorian to. Like be like I like you guys know I'm a huge fan of Boba Fett. Hell, I'll even go as far as Jango Fett in the prequels. Like that is the best part of Episode Two, and like that's why the only reason why I won't be like no Episode Two sucks. It's like but it's got Jango in it,
right?
And like I love Jango Fett,
but he shoots that missile.
It's awesome, and he flies around and he shoots his.
Well,
his
well, you
pistols.
Know what?
He's
you know
so
what
fun to play on Battleground in the yes. Kamino yeah. level.
Yes,
you know what I say about that? What? Like my feelings about Jango. Maybe. Yeah, lying right there.
Anyways, but we have very minimal experience with this guy, with this character, and he is exactly what you wanted out of this character. He very, yeah. very, you know, not just soft-spoken, but barely talks a lot, but very confident, and especially confident in his abilities. And, like, you can tell, like, he's good. He knows what he's doing, especially when he tracks down the assassin in this episode.
True, but he's still a little like thrown together. It's still a little. It's not like he's got it all locked.
Right.
Down,
yeah. Like know? He like when he was facing against the mud
the
beast
horn thing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mudhorn.
Mudhorn. Yep.
And like he was about to die if it wasn't for Baby Yoda. So like, yeah. Going back to the actual movies. You know, Boba Fett and Jango Fett. That wouldn't have happened. Like,
yeah.
You feel like they would have had the situation under control and they would have been able to take care of it. Whereas this character,
Boba Fett got ate by a Sarlacc. So,
yeah, but that wasn't his fault. Well, it was a malfunction in his jetpack. Sam,
Boba Fett.
Shut up.
You know, praise be to Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
And speaking of all powerful beings. Are we gonna
yeah
order?
Move yeah, on
okay. Let's do it.
All right, Watchmen. No, just another banger, man. Let me tell you.
I can't freaking ever explain this show to anybody.
I
don't know how to explain this to people.
I have a coworker who's like, "So Watchmen is that based on a comic?" I was like, "Yes, in a way."
Like I don't know if someone came up to me and was like, "I have no experience with Watchmen whatsoever." But I've heard good things. Would you recommend the show to me? I don't know if I would say yes.
You're right.
Yeah.
Because right. I'm like, I feel like you kind of have to know something about
You need to know who Dr. Manhattan is. You need to know who...
You don't, though.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
But,
you really
but,
don't.
I feel like you're going to
they
need
do,
to.
They do, but you don't
but
need
you don't.
To like understand the episode we just watched. Which,
or the,
I mean, I guess,
or the
you know.
Show in general.
Right.
But you also need to know who Rorschach is, in a way.
You don't. That's what's
but
good
you,
about
you
this show.
Do.
That's
like,
what's good about
so
the show. You
my
don't truly need to know it.
My coworker hates comic book movies and refuses to watch them, and he even refuses to watch Star Wars movies, so he has no idea any of this stuff.
He sounds
but,
fun.
Yeah.
Can we have him on the podcast?
But like I remember talking to him and him like he was like, "So I heard all this stuff about Watchmen and I watched it and I was a little lost on a few parts." And that's when he was like, "Is it based on a comic?" And I explained it to him. He was like, "Okay, that makes more sense." Because he was like, "I have no idea who this Dr. Manhattan guy is or Rorschach or, you know, Ozymandias." Like, And I kind of like explained it to him, like the squids and whatnot. I had to kind of explain like a few things. I was like, just trust me. Like it makes sense as long as you know these basic things.
Yeah.
And I think he's sticking with it.
I wouldn't even go that far.
I'll tell you, this episode, I was really struck with how different the show is from like the beginning. Like, yeah. If you think about the first episode, I was thinking
the exact same thing.
It's like almost just like a weird kind of cop drama. And now we're like, right? We have like, well, and it's like an eccentric old man in a house. Now it's like a fucking trial, which, to be honest, I didn't think was a strong part of the episode.
No.
It was very weak.
Although, I would still want it in the episode, but it was, you're right, it was absolutely.
I needed more, I think that.
But it's like, Now this show is just like, I turn a corner and I see him plugged into an elephant.
That was the point. That was the point where I just said to myself, I'm like, where the fuck did we come from? Well, how the hell did we get there?
Here's the thing. You guys haven't read the comic book.
Yeah, could you explain that?
Like, well, I can't explain the elephant, but like, I can't explain this. Watchmen the comic book has this thing where like the third act it just goes crazy.
Yeah, but I don't. I really don't think this is gonna end, like follow the comic. I really don't think it's gonna be
like it following it like sort of thematically where like the third act it's all of a sudden like giant interdimensional squid now.
Yeah, but we're not really third act.
We are
seventh episode. Yeah.
We are in the third act of this
nine
season.
Nine total.
Oh, there's only nine total. Yeah, we're all in right, the third. So we're in the third. Okay.
This is the beginning of the third act. Yeah. So
because I mean, shit is going down.
So let me ask you. When you saw the hammer, were you just like, oh, fuck, what the fuck is going to happen?
No, see, when I saw, it was even before that, when she was like, I want you to know I love you, and like doing that all, before she even grabbed the hammer, I was like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit, guys.
I was in the same boat. I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. And then she called him John. I'm like, oh,
we got a Manhattan in the house.
Yeah. I did not see that one coming.
Yeah,
that was out there, I guess, a little bit on the internet, but even those people were like, nah, but it can't be, right? Yeah.
Like, well, as soon as Lady, what's her name?
True.
Well, as soon as Lady True was like, he's on Earth, like, I was going through all the characters.
I thought it was the kid.
Somebody.
I thought it was the kid.
I thought it was the kid, where it's like, he was building the castle, and I was like, oh yeah, Manhattan was building the castle, it's gotta be him. And then, like, then she's just like, I love you, but you got to come out now. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Well, even like before,
well, even
that,
when Lady True's like, all right, let's stop bullshitting each other, Angela, or whatever. Well, I mean, she doesn't.
Yeah, well, even that, well but. Before that, where she's like, so your husband had complete amnesia. I've dealt with memories and like head trauma my entire life.
That's another
full
thing.
Yeah, an odd thing for full amnesia. And she's like, well, it happened. It's like, okay. I was like,
it came out of nowhere, man. Oh, but I mean, even like the little thing, I mean, I don't even know how little of a detail this is, but the fact that like she has a daughter that's like a clone version of her mother, that she's feeding her the memories of her mother to like, like it's, oh, and I mean, let's even talk about Angela's flashback, which was just like incredible and like just a total like Greek tragedy of all hope just being extinguished.
Oh, and, like, parents dying and then being the grandmother's here to save you. And she's dead.
Where like you get this like real vibe where it's like her grandfather, all of his memories were pain, and then you get her memories. They're all pain.
It's turning into the show where you can't watch the show and be happy afterwards. No.
But why is it all going into an elephant?
And what happened to her grandfather?
Right. Well, who knows what's going on.
He is the elephant, John.
You say that like it's impossible for it to be the case.
You watch the show. It could be.
The whole time he could be an elephant in a wheelchair. Yeah. We don't know.
I love this show to death, but I'm with Sam. I don't think I can ever recommend
this
to anybody.
Who do you recommend this to?
I can't. Do you like twisted, sadistic comic book TV shows that are semi-dark, yet zero hope involved?
Alternate history.
Then watch Watchmen.
Like if you're into the weird shit, this is like, this is like, you know, uncut, you know?
Question one, do you like Legion?
Yeah.
I would say
This is a little more straightforward than Legion.
I would say if you liked Westworld, but like you're kind of
this is nothing.
The thing with Westworld was like the twists and turns were like, oh, but who's the synth, who's not? This one, it's kind of the same kind of twists and turns that it takes, but instead of it being like a central theme, it's
right.
Like,
literally the only thing the show had going on. Yeah, right. It's like J.J. Abrams. It's funny you brought that up, and I mean, it's Jonathan Nolan doing it, but J.J. Mm-hmm. Abrams produces Westworld.
Right.
But it's almost like J.J. Abrams like learned all the wrong lessons from Lost, and Damon Lindelof, who does Watchmen, learned all the right lessons.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, because like these are, I mean, this has been a great like reveals the last couple episodes, I'll tell you. I mean, yeah. Even the whole, and I love the, when Laurie Blake goes to the chief's, you know, old house and.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. It's just trouble with the thing.
And it's
like,
the old school remote. It's the buttons that are like 2 inches tall.
They're like, what the fuck are you doing?
It's like, I just love, guy from Radio Shack hooked this up.
I just love like Agent Blake when like the senator comes up to her and like, I'm so sick and tired of this crazy bullshit. Just spare me. And I'm like at that moment, the series is kind of like self-aware. Yeah. It's like, yeah, this is kind of crazy.
Like, this is the point where you spill the beans about what your plan is. Just get it over
with. And then he's like, yeah, it's tough being a white man in America. Let's bring in a blue man.
You know, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, so I'm a little intrigued how this show finished, to say the least.
Yeah, the next episode looks like we're getting what Angela and Dr. Manhattan's relationship was in Vietnam. Yeah,
and how he fell in love with her, or had always been in love with her.
Yeah. Well, it's Manhattan, so he knows he's going to be in love with her.
Right.
Oh, that's right.
Because he's omniscient.
He knows all.
And not with
was the and will be.
FBI agent. What's her face?
Right.
Blake.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Really. Bad blood.
Mm-hmm. You know what's funny, too?
Sorry.
Let me ask you, do you think we're ever going to know who, like, Lube Man was?
Oh, I was thinking that, too.
Oh, man, I totally forgot about Lube Man.
Like, it can't be, like, a small detail at this point. It either is, like, unsolved or a major component. Like, there's no... And I think love of, like, it either way.
Season 2 that's coming up.
I don't know about the season 2.
Yeah, dude.
It sounds like mixed messages, which... To be fair, I could probably watch like 100 episodes of this show. Maybe not 100, but I could definitely do a second season. But we'll see if it happens. And it's not for ratings. I think it's just like I have a complete story and I just did it.
I think viewers are dipping a little bit, not a lot, but I think they're
it's still very high though.
Yeah. It's over a few million, so it's better than most shows.
Yeah.
So
I think it's what its highest rated show right now, viewership wise.
Yeah, for HBO.
Yeah. For HBO.
So,
yes.
I mean, I think it's the best since Game of Thrones, which I mean is not anywhere near Game of Thrones.
Well, I think it's other than Game of Thrones. I think it was like the best since Big Little Lies.
Oh yeah, you're right. Mm. But yeah, it's doing good numbers, and I'm glad. I'm glad because
agreed.
I feel like Leftovers was a show that. Same kind of vibe sometimes, and just nobody watched it, and it like broke my heart.
Like, I want a second season of this.
Yeah,
let's see how the first one ends.
Let me ask you: if you get a second season that was like an anthology series, would you take that?
Oh yeah, in a heartbeat.
The only thing is though, it's like we have too many of the main characters to just be a random ass spinoff. You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, but hell, I'd take a Minutemen flashback episode.
I mean,
flashback season, I guess.
Flashback season, or like, we haven't seen like Night Owl, who's apparently in jail.
Yeah.
Because they mentioned that earlier.
I have heard Damon Lindelof say, so if you do like this show, I would highly recommend the Watchmen podcast, which they do it every 3 episodes, so there's been 2.
Okay.
I guess Night Owl is not going to be in this season, which was. You know, so maybe there's another season, but
but there's like so much to this world where it's like I could take so much more of this world.
Honestly, too, like if it came to it, I would love like if they just did the actual like comic book too.
Yeah.
Like it wouldn't, I mean, I don't think they will, but like I could if they had like 90% of the same team together.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously not the cast, but you know, I would love to see that, but we shall see. It's been unequivocally though, like just one of my favorite shows of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It really pushes a lot of my buttons.
Well, luckily we only have to wait 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks before we do our year-end review.
Yeah, we got some year-end, some bunch of lists coming your way.
We have year-end and decade-end, which is going to be fun.
So yeah. let's transition now, talk about The Irishman, which is a 3.5-hour movie.
Yep.
And we're going to need an hour to talk about.
Save all that.
Yeah. Did you watch it? Yes. Okay. I don't think it's as good as people say.
Yep.
It's for 3.5 hours. It's very long.
Yep.
But I think it's worth the watch, especially if you like that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So I would recommend it. The weird thing is, like, it's a 3.5-hour movie, but you don't really like understand what the movie's about until like an hour and a half left.
Really?
So
halfway through.
Yeah, but the first 2 hours is still sort of like entertaining in its own way. Okay. But like, it's
how is the de-aging?
Okay, so the de-aging looks fine, although the guys who are in their 70s only ever look 40 or like young. So like, it can take 30 years off. It doesn't look convincing as 50 years, but it doesn't look like Uncanny Valley. Like, it's not distracting. Okay. It just doesn't look like they just. You know, Robert De Niro is supposed to be like 30. He just doesn't look 30. Like, he always looks like he's like a young, like 40-ish or like 50 or 60.
Okay.
So I think it's like partially successful. It's not fully successful. Mm-hmm. And the big drawback is they're still their physical selves.
Right.
So like, there's a scene and it doesn't look good. That's Robert De Niro like beating the shit out of a guy when he's 30. And it just it looks like a 70-year-old man beating up a guy. Like, he's like
kind of stiff and
yeah,
stuff.
No, yeah. Exactly. Like, yeah. Like, he's got like, he's like, you know, holding his arm like this while he's like kicking a guy. And it's funny because there's another, you know, in like Goodfellas, he's like beating the shit out of a guy and it looks completely different. And it's like the same exact, you know, thing he's doing. And it's, you know, it shows. So it's an interesting technology. I'd be interesting to see where it is. This is a good like first step. Like, I think it's proven out that it can be used. I think it's just how you use it will, ultimately make or break it.
Where it's like,
do you want to give a score?
The Irishman?
Yeah.
I'm going to give it an 8-9.
Ooh.
But it's like one of those where it's like, you know, you think it's good, and oddly, you can't understand people calling it great less than the people who, like, actually hated it.
Right.
Like, I understand the people who hated it more than the people that loved it, even though I really liked it.
Yeah.
Mm. So.
All right.
Yeah. I'm stuck where I, like.
It's probably not a Sean movie.
No, it's not. Well, before that, like, it looked like it wasn't a Sean movie, but once he went on his old man tirade, Scorsese, that basically cemented, like, yep, not seeing this.
He really went after, I mean, didn't go after, he just said he didn't, like, watch or care for The Sopranos, too, which is.
Oh, my God.
I mean. We're not a Sopranos podcast yet.
But you went to Sopranos Con. Yeah, I mean,
there's some stuff with that too. We could talk about some other time. Anyway, does the outro play or?
Yeah, if you want. I could. There you go.
Anyway, well, thanks again for listening to the 5-hour version of Knights of Nerditude. Oh, what?
No.
Under hour and a half. Yeah. We've done way worse.
Oh, yeah. I believe we've had a 2-hour.
I can't believe the Star Wars one's going to go long.
Yeah.
I think so. Anyway. So if you like all of our episodes, again, you can find them on Podbean, iTunes, and Stitcher. That 5-star review on iTunes gets you a movie if you put it in the comments that we will review and add comments to. So do that, and thanks for listening. Until next time.
Bye.
Adios.